Green Visions, Green Ideas.
Welcome to our sixth podcast. On the microphone today is Katharina. Today we talk to Sarah Ehemose on the citizen science project Find a Lake. As previously, we are sponsored by All Good Speakers. Hello, Sarah. I'm very happy that you join our project today. Sarah Ehemose is Associate Professor at the Department of Biology and will answer some of our questions today on the project Find a Lake. Please let us know, Sarah, what your project is about.
Yeah, basically, the project is a citizen science project where we ask citizens to help us taking water samples. And the reason for that is that we have nearly 200,000 lakes and ponds in Denmark. And for some of them, we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of samples. And for many of them, we know very little. And especially some of the smaller ones, we do not know a lot about. And there too comes that we have a lot of different kinds of lakes. We have the natural lakes, of course, big and small, but we also have a lot of man-made lakes. It could be gravel pit lakes, it could be stormwater ponds in the city, etc. And many of them we do not have a lot of knowledge about. So this project is simply a way of trying to collect samples from as many lakes and ponds as possible to gain more knowledge about their quality, their environmental status, and why do they have the quality that they have.
Okay, what would you say, how does it relate to sustainability?
It is very clearly connected to sustainability, because one thing is that we have to take care of environment and nature, and we have to make sure that we are behaving in a way that we will get a sustainable future. That's one thing. The other thing is that there's a lot of recreative elements in lakes and ponds, and people are using them a lot. So there's a social part in it. And finally, we also have a huge economical value in having a good water quality in our lakes and ponds due to the element, green and blue element, that they also gain to the landscapes and the cities.
That sounds very interesting, but also like a huge amount of data that you're gathering there.
Yeah, definitely. And that is where we need the help from the citizens, right? Because I could, of course, start taking samples today and I would never get finished with the same amount of data that we can gain by having the help from the citizens. And that is the whole idea in performing citizen science projects. That is that you will get the citizens to help you gathering samples. First of all, because more hands can take more samples. That is one thing. But another thing is also that the citizens know a lot about their local area. They know, they are aware of all the small ponds, lakes that we might not be aware of. We could, of course, take a map and have a look and see all the ponds that are distributed all over, but the local people have a local knowledge that is very helpful for us. And it is so great also to see that when we get the samples, the water samples in that people are collecting, that then we get a lot of small notes also. Either it's written on the flask, or I get emails stating, I have sampled this water sample here and I would like to tell you that la la la. So we got a lot of extra and very valuable knowledge out of having citizens helping us with taking the samples.
So you really get to know Fyn and the areas a lot better than before.
Yeah, definitely.
And what can people actually do to help you? How does it perform then in detail?
It's actually very simple. We have two ways of gaining knowledge. One is the homepage, which is it's at sdu.dk and then / find a lake. There's a lot of information about the project pointed towards citizens, ground schools and high schools, and there's also a map where you can see all the samples that are already taken. And there's also a link to the app, which is the other important part of the project, because we have made an app that is called Find a Lake, and it can be downloaded both for Android and iPhone. And simply by downloading the app, you get all the information that you need to take the samples. And it's also through the app that you register that you have taken the sample. So the app tells you how to do, how to take the sample. It also tells you where you can hand in your sample afterwards, because there's a list of places where you can hand the sample in. And it guides you through a registration process where you take a picture of the lake where you are taking the sample and then sending the picture to us. And the reason why we need the picture is because with the picture, we get the precise position of where the picture is taken, so the XI coordinate. And in that way, we then know precisely where the water sample is taken. And the app also provides you a code. It's a code, which is a mixture of number and letters that you put on your sample, so that we can then later on couple the code with the position of the registration, and then we know precisely where the water sample is taken. And then you can also, as a citizen, on the map, on the app, see all the registered lakes.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I maybe also want to say that it's not so that if you can see that a lake is already sampled, then it's completely fine and very okay to sample it once more. So we would also like to have more samples from the same lakes to see the heterogeneity in the water quality.
But also, over time, the water quality might change.
Definitely. It is, of course, point samples that we are getting when people are taking a water sample in a lake once. But it's better than nothing, which is the alternative.
So actually, what I need to do is first, when I start the app and want to contribute, I should check whether there is a collection place for my sample in the area, and then find out, okay, there I can drive to, and then I can go ahead and take my samples and follow the app.
And yeah, actually you don't need to go to the collection place before you take the sample, because you are taking the sample in either a water bottle, so a completely normal water bottle that you are using for drinking water, or you are taking it in a plastic bag, mm-hmm. just a normal plastic bag that you are using for food also. So you can simply take either a water bottle or a plastic bag in your own house.
Yeah.
And go out to the lake and take the sample. And then it's only when you have to hand in the water sample that you need to go to the collection place.
Yeah, because I'm not sending it by normal postal mail or something.
No.
Okay. No, there are collection places, and just make sure that you find one in your area. And when, I mean, you have this huge map with all the collection places, that's very nice, but how do people actually later on find out about the results of this survey?
The project is running from, or has been running from the middle of August, and then it runs until after autumn holiday, so until October 18th. And then after October 18th, we will have all the water samples collected. And then the big work with the analyzing starts in the lab. We have started already with some of the first samples that we collected. But then here in October, November, we will have all the water samples analyzed. And then all the data will be put out on the homepage, completely open, so that everybody can go in and see the results of the data obtained. And there are several purposes of that. One thing is, of course, that the single citizen that have been helping us can go in and see what was actually the water quality in that specific lake that I sampled. And another aim is that we have had a very, very nice cooperation with ground schools and high schools, and that we have also provided some teaching material for, and they also want to use the data in teaching so that they can download data and use it in their teaching. So there are several purposes by putting out the data completely open. And then we will, of course, use it in research to gain knowledge about what is it, how is it actually with the water quality in our lakes and ponds.
Is there something you expect to come out of it, something special that you draw your attention to?
One thing that we will look deeply into is the type of lakes compared to the water quality. What is it actually with all the man-made lakes? Which water quality do they actually achieve? Because we have over the years lost a lot of our natural lakes because we have drained them away due to agricultural purposes or due to infrastructure purposes. We have, you know, created bigger cities and more road systems, etc. So we have drained and removed a lot of our small natural lakes and ponds. And then now we, on the other hand, are creating new, let's say, new nature, you know, man-made nature, mm-hmm. by stormwater ponds in the cities or gravel pit lakes, etc. And it's interesting for us to find out which water quality do they actually achieve over the years and why.
Super. So actually the people can all take advantage of this project because they have the possibility to see on your map and to find the results of the water quality of the lakes in their vicinity. So they can find out and be happy or be disappointed depending on what it gives. Very nice. Thank you very much for this information about this very useful project, I think. All participants that think about collecting now samples have the possibility to hand in samples also in Sønderborg until the 18th of October. The place is SDU Library at Alcyon in Sønderborg. I assume this info will also be available in the app. Thanks again for being our guest today, Sarah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.